You're listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast. We are your hosts, Evie McLeod and Lindsay Roman. If you are currently a stay-at-home mom or want to be one soon and have been debating on starting a business to help support that dream, today's episode is for you. So today we're chatting with the incredible Maddie Spranger, one of our very own Heart and Hustle podcast listeners. And Maddie is a 28-year-old wife and mother, as well as a virtual assistant who embarked on her entrepreneurial journey just last year while juggling the very full plate of a stay-at-home mom.
In this episode, Maddie shared a deep dive into her journey and all the lessons that she learned. She shares the process of deciding to start a business while being a stay-at-home mom, how she juggles the demands of motherhood and entrepreneurship both at the same time, and she shared some great tips for all the moms out there who aspire to kickstart their career as a virtual assistant. So whether you're a mom seeking guidance on how to navigate the world of entrepreneurship while caring for your little ones, or you're someone to look just to glean insights from another passionate and motivated virtual assistant, then you are in for a treat. Let's get to the show. This is Lindsay. I want to share a vulnerable moment with you. Years ago, before I launched my first preset pack, something that genuinely held me back from doing it for way too long was the technical backend of how to do it. Like, I know we all know that e-commerce is a brilliant way to grow and diversify our business, but you know, whether you're a photographer wanting to sell presets like me, or a hormone health coach wanting to sell cookbooks, or honestly, literally anybody wanting to sell a physical or digital product online, knowing what platform to sell on is huge, right? So that's why when I started first selling my presets, I went with the obvious choice, Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And so whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify even helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And quick story, last fall, I had been wanting to incorporate a membership subscription into my business for women to sign up and be a part of my Insiders membership group. And I almost didn't do it purely because I didn't want to buy another program to process the subscription payments. And that's when I realized, wait. I use Shopify for my presets. Can they do subscriptions too? And what do you know? With Shopify's endless list of integrations and third-party apps, anything you can think of from chatbots to subscriptions, yes, they have everything you need to revolutionize your business. My subscription problems were solved with the brilliance that is Shopify. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/heart, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/heart now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/heart. Hey, I'm Lindsay Roman.
And I'm Evie McLeod, and we are family and legacy-focused serial entrepreneurs and the founders of The Heart University, a business education company with a mission to help you thrive in your business and life.
Welcome to our Entrepreneur Cocktail Hour, where business and marketing strategies meet faith, real talk, and raw and life-changing conversations.
At the end of the day, we are all in this together, figuring out how to navigate the ups and downs, the messy and the beautiful, and everything in between. This is a community where you can come as you are, get inspired, and walk away equipped to build a legacy-filled life.
You're listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast.
Maddie, welcome on to the Heart and Hustle podcast. We're so excited to chat with you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
Yay.
Dream come true.
Oh my gosh. Aww. Well, we are going to jam on today's conversation all about your journey. And speaking of your journey, wow, that sounded like a bit that I didn't mean to sound like a bit.
that was not scripted.
Yeah, that was not scripted. Can you introduce yourself to our audience and tell everyone who you are and what you do?
Of course. My name is Maddie Spranger. I am a mom of three. I live in Wisconsin. And I started my first business at home with three kids, starting on my dining room table. And I just can't wait to share with people and other moms who are looking to bring in some extra income while still being home with your kids. A friend shared it with me. I dug in, started my own business. I'm going on a year. And woo-hoo! I absolutely love it. It is right up my alley. And, I wish more people knew about it. So this is why I'm so excited to be on here, because when I was told about my business, I was like, I didn't know this was a thing. So I am totally, I just can't wait to share with other people what you can do in your dining room table.
Oh my gosh. I love that you said that too. And I love that you have been in it a year and you're like, yo, like I am semi at the beginning, but like we're doing this thing and we're in it. Cause I think it's also life-changing. Well, yeah. And I think also for our listeners, it can be so helpful to hear from somebody that's like maybe in a similar stage of where they're at of like, oh, hey, I just started my business. I'm a mom or I stay at home mom and I want to get, you know, do a hobby or do a hobby, turn a hobby into a side hustle or make money doing something I love while I'm also stay at homing. And I think this is just the perfect conversation to have. And we're so excited to have you on and get your expertise of just everything that you've learned in the last year and even beyond that. So thank you for coming on.
I feel like let's just dive straight out. Where the floor is yours, Maddie. Can you just share with us? You're like, oh, pressure's on. Can you just share with us kind of like what business model do you currently have that you're like, I wish people knew about this because I didn't. And what led you? You said like a friend kind of introduced it to you. Like kind of, I guess, just share your experience of why, what led you to start a business? What business model are you in? What have been like, I don't know, some moments that you feel like you want to share as the beginning, like intro, just kind of like, I don't know, your story. Tell us about your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. Okay. So my oldest child is 4 and will be 5 soon. And then I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And when I started this business, my youngest was 9 months old. So when I started having kids, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. It was my goal to be home all the time. Unfortunately, my personality does not like to sit so long. So for the last 5 years, I probably have dabbled into lots of different side hustles, whether it be just anything. If you name it, I probably had tried it. Just something to bring in some extra income to help my husband out. Because you know, when you first get married, you know, you're both working and then we start having kids and I wanted to be home. And then you start having maybe some financial issues or something like that. And for us, what kind of happened this last year was, our furnace went out. We had bought a new house. We hit some medical problems. So like there was a lot of things that all happened really fast that it was like, I can't leave the kids because like me going and getting a full-time job would be super helpful, but I can't leave the kids. Right. So I had to learn to be vulnerable. And I feel like that is something that when you're struggling in a problem, being vulnerable is something that your friends can then help you if you're vulnerable with your problems.
Yeah.
And so I actually ended up meeting a friend with all 3 of my kids and I was like super vulnerable. I was like, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, my husband's not getting a raise anytime soon and I'm not going to leave the house or leave the kids. And she's like, have you ever looked into being a virtual assistant? And I was like, I have never heard of that before in my life. I have no idea what that is. And she was like, I have my own business that she runs. She runs from her home and she's a bookkeeper. And she was like, I need a virtual assistant and you can work from your laptop. And I was like, okay, I'm intrigued. Like,
tell me more.
I mean, I can do anything from my laptop. Just tell me what you want. Yeah. And so she was like, well, take a couple days. Go home, Google it, and see what it actually is. So I went on Pinterest, I went on Google. I actually went back to your podcast and specifically looked for virtual assistant podcasts. And I think your virtual assistant, Rachel, popped up, and I listened to that. I think I went into, it's Jenna Kucher, right? Went into her podcast and tried to find anything about virtual assistant, whatever it was. And I was like, I could do this. Like, this is totally me. Like, I am very organized. I'm very administrative. So I was like, I can definitely do this. So I basically, I had my friend helping me. So she set me up with a client management software. She helped, she was like, get this set up and then, you know, get a business. My husband's in accounting a little bit. So he was like, get a business account. And, you know, I went through your podcast and I'm like checking off everything that I need to do to make sure it was all right. And I got it up and running in less than a week.
Dang, girl. That's amazing.
Which is crazy. And so like, you can definitely do it, but on the going backwards, me and my husband had to have the discussion of, are you sure you want me to work? Mm-hmm. Because I think that was something that we had to have the discussion of. If you're a mom with kids, that is definitely work. Okay. Yes. Like, that's definitely a full-time job.
100%.
Yeah. So it came down, we had to be on the same page. If you want me to do this, you can have a work-life balance, but something has got to give. You have different priorities. So on some level, it was the conversation of, okay, things that is a priority we need to talk about, things that really need to get done, we need to talk about. But otherwise, I was setting aside my afternoons for work. So the dishes or laundry or anything in the afternoon that maybe I would get done regularly needs to get done at a different time.
Yeah.
And so we had to, as a couple, we came to an understanding that he's like, no, I think you'd be really good at this. We really need this. And whatever you need, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
So I had that going in, which I think is maybe not everybody has that. Which I have found my husband has been super encouraging and super great and very understandable when housework maybe doesn't get done when it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So because I'm using my time, I have to prioritize time differently.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different like that. But if you want to become a virtual assistant, you definitely can get up and running in less than a week. I went through the whole CRM thing and stuff. And now a year in, I actually probably don't really need that right now. Mm-hmm. So there are some things that I probably in my head wanted to grow a lot bigger than I really can in this season of life. So maybe that's something that I've learned in the last year. There's different seasons and we can maybe talk on that a little bit later, but starting off, if you are looking for something to work at home from a dining room table, Google virtual assistant. It is an umbrella term for a lot of different things, but it is definitely, there's a low startup cost and all you need is internet and your laptop and friends or the Instagram or social media to get the word out and you are set. You're set to go and you can definitely start doing it at nap times. And that's so good. I fit it all in. And it was, I mean, it's been amazing.
That's so good.
Mm, I love that.
I have so many thoughts.
Could you break down kind of what that looks like then in when you started your business, what it looks like in a day, balancing both watching your kids? You said you worked in the afternoon, but within that, and then obviously, like, you know, there's some dishes and chores that you probably would do normally during a day before you had, you know, the side hustle that can't get done or has to get done in a different way. Can you kind of give like an average day in your life now that's you're working and momming? Like, what does that look like practically?
Sure. Yeah, of course. So when I first started, I think you guys have talked about this. There's definitely a season for hustle. Mm-hmm. And so in the first 6 months, I was hustling.
Yeah.
So I was marketing myself 24/7 on social media and stuff. And I was able to get about six clients in about 3 months. So
that's
I was jam packed. And so what I was doing, I was waking up early. I probably woke up at 5 and worked from 5 to, my kids get up early. They get up about 6, 6:30. So I had about an hour.
Could you sleep longer? Sleep, child.
Oh, yeah. Like, can you just sleep until 7 or 8? That'd be great.
That'd be clutch. Thanks.
Yeah. So I started hustling there. I woke up early. And then mornings are for my kids. Typically I started in the fall. So in Wisconsin, it's winter. There's not a lot really going on, which to me is like, my kids are really little. They're 4 and under. So in the mornings, maybe we'd plan an outing and go to a coffee shop with friends, but that usually only goes to like 9 to 10, 9 to 11. You have that morning to go do something. If we don't go do something, that's usually when I do dishes or laundry or picking up the house, things like that. And whatever I can get done in that morning is, I did it. Mm-hmm. I did it. I got it done. And then I set my kids up for lunch. We eat lunch together, and maybe while we're all sitting at the dining room table while they're eating lunch, I'll pull out my laptop and do some work while we're all busy mm-hmm. eating. And then we do nap time. So I am a scheduler, and I know not all moms are like this, but all my kids, my one goal was get them all down for one nap.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So all my kids at this very moment are all sleeping at the same time, which takes practice. And my 9-month-old was not doing that all the time. It's all, they're all at an age where they're all taking one nap, or my oldest does quiet time. We do quiet time. Mm-hmm. So he will stay in my bedroom and he brings in his favorite toys or a book, and he's in there for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. He like listens. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this. Have you guys ever heard of Adventures in Odyssey?
Literally, I still listen to it as an adult. So your kids will grow up loving that. My whole childhood is, yes, Adventures in Odyssey.
So me and my husband listen to it before we go to bed. Both grew up on it.
It's the best.
So we listen to that. We put it on for my son, and he listens to stories, looks at books, plays in there.
That
gives me about an hour and a half to 2 hours of complete silence.
Yeah.
So So when I'm not working, this is my rest time. I go take a nap, or I watch a show, or, you know, do something that I just, where moms need a break. So that's like, sometimes you just need that. But if you're in a hustle season, this is the best time to get deep work done. Mm-hmm. And so I think I heard on your Rachel, your virtual assistant, she writes things down. I have found writing things down on a piece of paper, your top priorities are just, it's an amazing way to stick to it and not get sidetracked.
Yeah.
So when I had 6 clients, I would write every priority down, the most important to the least, and then in the afternoon, just like get through it. Mm-hmm. And once you get going, if you pick a niche, is it niche?
Yeah.
in a virtual assistant, and you get really good at it, you can go through those tasks super fast, probably quicker than your client. And that's why they hired you.
Yeah.
So something I found is that some of these tasks that I had, I was really good at it. So it actually goes a lot faster than you think.
Yeah.
So actually my hour and a half to 2 hours, I could get stuff done. I'm mostly everything done, especially when you had no one interrupting you or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I also found out 6 clients is a lot. So
yeah.
I ended up niching down even more. I only have 3 clients now, and they're very consistent. They're everyday work. And those 3 clients, it's like I can personally, and between me and my husband, we have decided these 3 clients are, I'm going to work hard. They're going to be mine. I'm going to be with them for years. And this is what I'm sticking to right now while I have my 3 kids at home. So that was, there was a time in there where I was definitely doing too much.
Yeah.
And when you're doing too much, either you're going to be yelling at your kids, upset with your husband, stressed out, not sleeping, you know, all these things happen. And it comes to that point in time where you have to decide, what are you willing to let go?
Yeah.
And me and my husband had that conversation, and we are Christians. So we're going to pray about it. And honestly, the three clients that I have now came to me by recommendation or found me in some way after I had prayed for an opportunity, which is just, is crazy. And then the other 3 have backed out our work has just no longer continued or something like that, which has been amazing, because when you're in a point of, do I want to grow my business to be huge and make it something incredible, which yeah. I have those dreams. I have those dreams of wanting it to be huge. And, you know, if you're on social media, it's a constant bombardment of, make sure you have your email list, make sure you, you know, it's just market, market,
it's
market,
more,
make
more,
sure
more.
You keep growing.
Yep.
It's just more and more and more. So I definitely, these last couple of months, I've had to take a break from social media because it's being content in the season that I'm in. I can't handle my family life and more in growing the business at the same time. Right now I am at a perfect spot and I don't need to be pushed or feel guilty for not, you know, you get, there's so many opinions. So I definitely, right now I am at like the perfect spot of 3 and 3. I can handle the 3 and 3.
Maddie, that's so good.
Hey, hey, if you are new here and haven't heard about our online resource shop, listen up. The Heart Shop is a digital resource and template shop for creative entrepreneurs and photographers. There are so many goodies for creative entrepreneurs in the shop, like website templates, PDF guide templates, illustrations to enhance your brand, and lots more. But one thing in particular we made sure to add was contract templates.
Y'all, the horror stories we have heard in our years of business is unmatched and a little terrifying. Clients refusing to pay after you've delivered a service, clients demanding their retainer back after canceling on you last minute. The list goes on. Business shouldn't feel like you're walking on eggshells, though. And yet, that's how most of us feel when we first start our business. We're petrified to make a wrong move or have an unhappy client.
Okay, but here's the truth. One of the first foundational steps of owning your own business should be protecting yourself legally with contracts. Yes, yes, even for friends and family. Contracts allowed us to walk in confidence as we grew our photography businesses. But also, hiring a lawyer to create custom contracts for you is a pain in the butt and the wallet. And grabbing whatever free or cheap template online is often not enough protection.
Yes, so we wanted to make this as easy and seamless for you as possible and give you the resources to make sure you have your butt protected. We have partnered with our favorite lawyer and attorney, Paige, from The Legal Page. She has not only created powerful contract templates, but her team is so present and ready to help figure out which ones you need for your business.
You can stagger contracts in our shop like the wedding photography contract, destination intimate wedding contract, cancellation and rescheduling bundle, second shooter and associate contracts, and honestly, so much more. Just head to theheartcontracts.com for 10% off. That's theheartcontracts.com.
If you are loving what you're hearing on today's episode, then we wanted to share something else you might love, The Heart Shop. It's our digital resource online shop for creative entrepreneurs. The Heart Shop is your one-stop shop for all of our online courses, luxury website templates, PDF guides, social media graphic templates, and illustrations.
If you've been at your wit's end with your website design and you don't know where the heck to create a high-quality pricing or welcome guide to give your clients an incredible branded first impression, ooh, we got you. We created the Heart Shop to serve you with the best tools and resources you need to successfully run your business. Just head to theheartuniversity.com/shop and start browsing the goods. That's theheartuniversity.com/shop, and we'll see you there.
I love that so much. And I feel like that's something that's like, I think, very, very big lesson to learn as an entrepreneur.
Especially
and I feel
the fact
like
that you learned that so quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like you learned that so early, which is going to set you up for so much success. And I feel like that's something like seasons ebb and flow as an entrepreneur. And, you know, especially for you in this whole conversation of like a stay-at-home mom and your desire was to build a business so that you could still continue to be a stay-at-home mom. It's like, how do you build around that? And you kind of realizing like, this is too much. Everything else like at home is falling apart. Or if I keep things up at home, like my client work is falling apart and I just can't balance it. Like the two don't go together. Something has to shift. Like that's life-changing to fully realize and then take action on too and be willing to like leave stuff on the table. Cause the reality is that's what you're doing. Like you could grow more. And I think you fully like, you know, were in that place of like, I have a lot on my plate and I could still do more. And you're like, nope, I'm going to actually take some of the stuff off my plate now and then leave the rest of the stuff in the buffet. Like I'm not going to go serve more. Yeah. Like this is what I have on my plate right now. And this is what I need. And I feel like that's one of the best lessons you can learn as an entrepreneur in general, but especially somebody who's juggling two things like motherhood, because you were so right. It is a full-time job and a business on top of that, like finding that sweet spot, I think is like one of the best things you can
could ever do.
Yeah.
Well, you also mentioned the highlight reel of just like seeing everything and everybody on Instagram. And I think when you're a stay-at-home mom and you understand your ultimate priorities, which like for stay-at-home moms, like your kids are above your job. Like that's just the reality. Yeah. But it's like you want something that, you know, fulfills you in a career way. And like,
or contributes financially to the family.
But I feel like so often when we're looking online, we're either comparing ourselves to people that aren't stay-at-home moms, or they have like a full-time nanny where they have a full-time daycare, or we just don't even know their lives and it could be completely different and we have no idea because we're seeing the highlight reel. And so I think that's important to remember. Yep. It's like we can't always compare our situation to what we see online and that shiny allure.
I would say you pointed that out, who you're looking at. And it's like, if I were to go through my business Instagram account, I think it is young single women that are just, they're doing amazing.
Yeah.
And so when you see that, it's like, oh man, if they can do it, I can do it for sure. And then you have to remember, you're married and have three kids.
Yeah.
You're married and then you have three kids. You can't just work 8 hours a day or whatever, 12 hours a day, you know, 24/7. You can't do that. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
And even after, like, so I started after my youngest was 9 months old. Some of that was, I want to get healthier too. My husband gets up at 4:30 in the morning. I am not about that life, but.
I mean, you said you got up at 5.
She's in her hustle season.
Yeah.
You know, so he started working out. You know, he's looking good. I got to work out with him. I got to keep up.
I love it. You keep each other accountable.
That's so good.
Yes. But, you know, like you hit that. It's like, well, you're doing that. I want to do that with you.
I know.
You.
I'm like, so I'm sorry. You can't get a six pack.
Priority.
I need to stay on that level. Okay.
I know. So it's like, so that's another thing added. And that was another discussion. Do I go in the morning or do I go at night with the kids in bed or after the kids go in bed? When do you spend time with your spouse?
Yeah.
Me and my husband, we spend time together after the kids go to bed. Like we have a bedtime routine for our kids. They're in bed at a certain time.
That
is our time together. So, and that was a discussion in the hustle time.
Yeah.
My husband, like in the hustle time, sometimes I work during that time. And so are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not every day of the week, but we're not spending our time together doing something that we enjoy together at that time. Yeah. Maybe I have to go spend time in our room and do some work. But I would say at the point right now where I'm at with my figuring out my priorities, I am able to fit everything into the afternoon or in the day. So, which has been amazing. So once you figure it out, you can build your daily routine around your job. And so you're still able to spend time with the kids. Like I have not missed out on spending time with mom friends or play dates or anything like that when you're able to be flexible and then do it in the afternoon when your kids have to take a nap anyway.
Totally.
So
Do you,
then you're home.
Do you work from your phone at all? Because I know like if we're just talking about like business boundaries, then like I would say like, oh, don't work from your phone. But especially as a stay-at-home mom who's working and you're like out, like do you try to keep that boundary of you're only working during those nap times? Or like if you're doing something that's quick for a client, is that, what's your take on that? Like, oh, I'll pop out my phone while we're at the park.
Sure. So I would say during the summer, I break it. During the summer, I want to be outside as much as possible. We probably are more busy too during the summer. So during the summer, our town has like swimming lessons every day of the week and it's outside. And then they also have like this awesome sand playground. So basically I plan the swimming lessons like at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we eat breakfast, we go to swimming lessons. It's like 9 to 9:30, but then they go play in this playground with all their friends until like 11 or noon. So we're out all morning.
That's awesome.
So one of my clients, I answer phone calls. And so they forward to my phone. And so if we are there, then my kids are playing. I'll answer the phone and do whatever I can. What's really nice, they're, one of my jobs was getting them on a CRM. So I downloaded an app and I got everything functional instead of going through like Google Sheets or something. And so it's got suits, like because I was there helping them, I made it super simple basically for myself to help them. And then it's a quick phone call, answer some questions, put it in the app, and then I'm done. So being out all morning versus just answering a 5-minute phone call. Sometimes it's okay to do. It's also, I had an opportunity to take on working from my phone over the weekends. And that one I tried for 2 weeks and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So one of my clients is really good with, if someone calls you, you can let it go to voicemail and get back to them in the afternoon. And to me, that is very great because that's my priority. I mean, that's on my list of then I call everybody on whoever called me, left a message. I get back to everybody. Yeah. No one's interrupting me. It goes super fast. But then this other one was like, no, you need to answer them in the hour. Mm-hmm. So in the summer, I had a really hard time doing that because I didn't want to be on my phone constantly yeah. and checking it and making sure I didn't miss anything. Yeah. And so that one I did say, I can't do this. Like, this doesn't fit in with yeah. my lifestyle. Because I was glued to my phone, or it made me anxious, or I always had to have notifications right. on.
I love that though. You knew your boundary.
So there is, yeah. So there is definitely different boundaries on my phone. This morning I went to a cafe and checked emails, but my kids were playing and no one else was there. So I just checked emails quick. I wasn't missing out on anything and then it's over.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. great. So it can be, depends on what you're doing.
I love that. What would you say, I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but like, what would you say to the stay-at-home mom right now who's maybe listening to this, who has a hobby or just an idea of a business, or maybe is in a similar season of you of, you know, starting this business and like really like taking off the ground and like, you know, getting to a healthy place with it balance-wise and all that, who maybe is like struggling with some mom guilt and like, you know, sees that pile of dishes in the sink during the afternoon and is like, I need to get that done. My kitchen is a mess, or, you know, whatever, or, you know, my kids are over there playing and am I being a terrible mom because I'm answering this quick phone call? Mm-hmm. Like what would you say to that? Sure. Have you experienced that? What's your story, or, you know, any advice of things you've learned that you would give to other moms or anything like that?
Yeah, I would say my husband is the teacher to me on this one, because when we got married, probably one of our biggest arguments was the cleanliness of the house, dishes, the dishwasher, and laundry.
That's funny.
If we want to get into that, I'm very open.
I love it.
I love a clean kitchen. I love an empty sink. I love my house clean. Yeah. But there comes a point where there will always be dishes.
Yeah.
There will always be laundry. Your house will always be dirty.
Yeah.
And I looking back in my life, there is a point in my life where it's like living in anxiety because of all the mess. And then coming to a point where I spent this time cleaning up the house. I spent this time doing the dishes. I spent this time doing the laundry, and there will always be more. Yeah. And I did my best, and the dishwasher's full. I can't fit any more dishes in it. Now I have to wait for it to empty it. Are you okay with that? Like, yeah. I am okay with, I did my best to clean the kitchen as best as possible in the time that I have. The dishwasher's full. It's cleaning. Walk away.
Yeah.
That can be really hard. And I will say, I've been married for almost 7 years. And I mean, that was some of the biggest arguments that we had is over the kitchen and how clean it is.
That's awesome.
And it's one of those things where, are you going to let that get in your way?
Yep.
I guess. Is it that big of a deal?
Yeah.
And this is more talking to myself. I've had to learn to let it go.
Yeah.
There's other things. And also, like, this morning, my kitchen was a complete disaster. I packed up all the kids to go drop one off at school. And I said, I'm going to the cafe. I'm not even turning back and looking at the kitchen. I'll come back and do it later. I'll go. And, you know, and it's one thing, my husband's okay with that. So that I was the problem in that. Yeah. If your spouse is the one who really wants a clean house, you definitely need to have a conversation about, you can't do it all.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, amen. Because it could be opposite, where the wife doesn't care and the husband does care. Yeah. And what I would say to that is then, you need to help. or have that conversation, because I've had that conversation with like the laundry. I can never keep up on the laundry. I'm terrible. Like just terrible.
Same.
So to my husband, it's like, okay, if you really, we really need to get the laundry done. We really need to get folded and put away. I can start it. That's the problem.
It's remembering to switch it over and fold it. Yep.
It's always the folding. It's like, it just piles up.
Yes. Well, and that's a whole nother discussion. How do you fold? How do you fold your laundry?
I love it. Marriage really brings out all the little nooks and crannies of differences,
nuances,
doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So I learned how to fold my laundry different. I did do that. Aww. But also, if we need it done at a certain point, or my husband needs something for work or something, I have to say, we have to be open about what the day looks like. And it's, if you need this, you need to communicate with me that you need it. If that, then I'll put it on my priority list.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I'll put it in my head, top of my list.
Yeah.
Make sure to do that for my husband. But also, he notices too when I'm stressed. He comes home and asks, how did your day go? And he will go and fold the laundry by himself, which is absolutely great. And that comes with time.
Yeah.
That is not just, that is not how our first year of marriage went. Okay. So this is just, this is a whole, like, it's just, as you're married longer, you get to know each other better. Mm-hmm. You understand your spouse's needs. And there are certain things, hopefully, that now you can have a conversation, as we both decided that this is important. And so that means we need help with the other things.
Yeah.
So, but like guilt, mom guilt, you know, I am not one to ask really about mom guilt. I would say my levels of like empathy are very low, unfortunately. I am a very blunt person.
I relate, girl. We are kindred spirits.
I've heard some of that. Yes.
She knows the nicest way to say that. I think I've heard some of that.
No, I think I've heard you guys comparing that way.
Yeah. Right.
I've had to explain my personality a little bit. Administration and leadership is very high on my natural personal abilities.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to that, my empathy is really low. And I come to notice that. And so I do have to realize that sometimes work has to stop and I do have to hug my kids.
Yeah.
And that is...
that is so relatable to me. Maybe no one else, but to me, I get that.
I not everybody understands that point.
Actually, no, there is a segment of the world that is nodding their heads alongside us. There is.
Okay.
You've just given permission to people.
Yes. So I would say this is where I also struggle with the boundaries, because I know I would be such a good boss.
Yeah.
I'd be so good. I'd be so good, you know, in corporate world, in my head.
Yeah.
Or any job that I've ever been given, I've been really good at it. So being a mom has actually been very, very difficult for me.
Yeah.
So the coming to the realization that this is my season has, like, I would say maybe you had like a midlife crisis when I had my first baby, because I went from working to being a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. So that could be a whole different discussion.
Well, that's real though. Like that, thank you for sharing that. Like that's vulnerable. And I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling of like, I have to watch these children now. And I love that you said it's a season, because it is. It's not going to be forever, even though in the moment it can feel like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another part, my husband and I are youth leaders and we hang out with middle schoolers. And one of the reasons that we met and married each other is that we enjoy doing crazy fun activities. And so one of the things that happened when I became a mom was that I can't do the fun activities anymore. I have to be home with my kids. Yeah. And that was another thing that was like, obviously my kids come before that, but that was another midlife crisis of, I can't go out and do these fun things with my husband anymore. But on my third kid right now, it's definitely like your kids are getting older. The time goes so fast. Like now that I'm looking at it, like looking back at it in the time, it was so hard because I felt like I was missing out. I have that fear of missing out, that FOMO. That is my personality. That is like totally my personality. Someone's always doing something fun that I wish I could be doing. I have learned so much. Like I have gone through so much to get to this contentment, but it has been a journey. Like it has been years that I am now here. And
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're good.
Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that. Like I said earlier, that's just, it's so real. And especially like the fear of missing out. I think a lot of moms can relate to that. Yeah. What I've found to combat that is I just force my children to go to things. I'm like, I want to go to this fun event. You're going. Oh, we're potty training. I'm bringing the bucket. No, it's not a bucket.
That's awesome.
It's a portable kids toilet. But she calls it a bucket.
That's so funny.
But it's so real though. Like that feeling that you're talking about, I think a lot of people can relate to it and it doesn't last. And I love that you mentioned, you're like, hey, I've had to work to truly learn to enjoy this season because it doesn't last forever. And I think that's like the golden light there is like, enjoy it. Like, I think, we all learn to steward each season that we're in differently, but I love that you've made that intentional choice to be like, hey, I'm going to choose to see joy in this season, no matter what. I love that.
Yeah. There was a time just these last couple of months, it was the choice was to market myself even more to get more clients or to be okay with losing a client or something like that. But what I came down to is what are things that I really enjoy that brings me such like happiness and joy. And it came down to, since I had more time, since I lost a client, I got to speak more for our youth ministry. So I volunteered more to speak. I was able to, I went on a missions trip just recently. I went to the Middle East.
That's awesome.
And some of this wasn't possible without some of the funds that I raised from my business. And then, even from that, like you guys are starting sourdough. I'm a big sourdough baker. I love it so much. I love baking. And so it's like, okay, that brings me so much joy. I have time to do that now in the afternoon. And I started making it for all my friends and family. And I used those. It was like a fundraiser for my mission trip. And then guys, I got a new client on the week of my mission trip and came back and started a new client, like a new seat, like just, it's amazing how like there are certain things that I think you can't just, I didn't market, if that makes, I didn't put in the work to market myself.
God
this
just
opportunity
blessed
came because I prayed about it. Yeah. God blessed me in taking that time and doing these things. And I think when I found out the priorities that I needed to do in those slow months, it actually paid off. Like God blessed me afterwards. And now I'm in this new season. And
that's amazing.
It's not going to be a hustle all the time. And maybe it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
it's true.
I mean, I personally think there's seasons and there's ebbs and flows and there's definitely the hustle season and there's the kind of the rest and slow season. And, you look at nature, you look at everything from the seasons to, there's the blue, there's the like the spring and summer, and then there's the fall and the winter. And, it's just, you look around and you're like, no one was meant to just go, 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 go. That's not how we're built. That leads to burnout, So I love that so much. I guess like your final thoughts, Maddie, on like, for someone who's listening to this, who maybe is interested in becoming a VA specifically after hearing you kind of talk and being like, well, this freedom and like flexibility that she has sounds awesome. What are some like first couple things? Would you be like, hey, go binge any podcast you can learn about VAs and then take these two steps, or just something that's like really tangible and practical in specifically like the VA niche that you have found so much joy and freedom in?
Yeah, definitely. Just go Google it first and foremost. Just see I mean, it's just simple. Just go do that quick. Or you could use ChatGPT. It's very helpful. It is. And if you want to learn something, it's very helpful. Just go start talking to it and be like, what do I need to do to become a VA? And it will tell you.
I love it. It's amazing.
I'm hoping to work on just something quick to give to people to how to become a VA, but basically go look and see what is in your niche, what you're good at. I know, like for photographers, you guys, look for editing, help with editing. That is a virtual assistant job. Scheduling and administration. That is what I basically do with most of my clients. So answering emails, if you can answer emails, you can be a VA.
Yeah, true.
Talking on the phone, I schedule like hotels and planes, flights and all this. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a very nice client, they walk you through what they like, what they want you to do. Yep. And they are so willing to, they want it done their way. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're willing to learn, it's, as long as you're humble and willing to learn how someone wants it their way, you can be a VA.
I love that. That's so great.
Yeah. I would, I think one of the first things that was very important was opening a business account. Mm-hmm. I think before we started this podcast, I mentioned Lorianne. Kutz, I probably pronounced her last name wrong, but she has a podcast and she was a guest on your podcast. Mm-hmm. And I think she talks a little bit about starting a business, banking or like just a, some place to put your money for your business.
A separate business bank account.
Yes, a business bank account. I have a free one online. So everything's online. It was super easy to set up. Took like 24 minutes to set it up. It's super easy. Google, I love Google. I'm running into some of my clients are still on Microsoft, but I grew up using Microsoft, so it's not that bad. But Google is so easy to use. Yeah. Make a Google email account. I started a client management software, but if you're just starting, you don't have to have one. I think photographers, like I listened to your guys' podcasts for like since the beginning and a photographer, you guys have new clients all the time.
Right.
So a CRM is very important. Yeah. I would say for a VA, if you're only thinking about 3 to 6 mm-hmm, clients, mm-hmm. you probably don't need that.
Well, and it's honestly, like recurring Google's, clients. It's like,
yeah. And it's recurring. You're working like with one-off. The same person.
Yeah.
It's not a one-off. So I have found the CRM that I had bought it. And so I wasted money doing that.
Yeah.
If you want to buy something that, if you want to buy something, you could look into HoneyBook or I use Dubsado. And I think you're on Dubsado, your first 4 clients are actually free until it charges you. And so I went past that pretty quickly with the 6 clients, unfortunately, and then went back down to 3. So I could have stayed on the free version, but
you're like, dang it.
It's all bad. Yeah.
Live and learn.
But a Google spreadsheet will do just fine.
Perfect.
And a Google create a business email, something that can kind of stick with your mine is Spranger VA Solutions.
Mm-hmm. So, I love it. Yeah,
With your business name.
It's a VA. Yeah. And so I was able to use that with like I was doing some social media and other things, and VA is just that, you know, umbrella term sticks with that. But otherwise, other than that, you can start marketing yourself. I got my first couple clients just posting on Facebook. Sometimes I don't think people realize how many entrepreneurs are in your world until you offer to help them.
Yep.
And so I got most of my clients from friends because they have their own businesses and they're like, I need help sending invoices every month. So one of my clients, honestly, what I do is just send them invoices once a month or like for their clients is I do all their invoicing kind of for them. Okay. And then you can make a social media account if you want for your business or make it personal. I have 2. It's hard to do 2.
Yeah.
That would be your own personal your own personal thing. If you want to do 2, go ahead. I kind of like having the 2 because I like doing motherhood and my personal stuff on my personal account. And then I really enjoy business and like talking about your podcast and Laura Ann's podcast and social media tips and tricks that I always find. And I like to keep that kind of separate. I don't think my personal friends that aren't in business really like this.
I love it.
That's more what I think for my friends. I made a business one, and the friends who want to keep up with my business, they come and follow that one. But otherwise,
that's great.
Started from scratch.
That's great. Well, you kept it separate.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Awesome. You just gave us a lot.
I know. She's like, that's it. And she's like,
and here. You just gave so many people like a lot of like good tangible steps to start with. So thank you so much, Maddie. That was incredible.
You're welcome.
For anybody that's listening to this episode and they're like, oh, okay, I want to get to know her. I want to either hire her if you're accepting more clients. Maybe you're not. I don't know.
Or just ask you questions.
Or just, ask you questions about anything VA related. Where can people find you and get to know you and just stalk you or be friends?
For sure. Maddie Lee Springer is my personal Instagram. I'm on Instagram the most. We'll have it, I'm sure, in the show notes how to spell that. And then Springer VA Solutions is my business one. And so I post usually business stuff on there. But either one, I am on Instagram all the time.
Awesome.
So
perfect.
That's where you can find me and reach out. I think my email's on both of them. So
amazing.
Or just message me on Instagram because I'm there too.
That's the fun way.
Maddie, you have been so amazing. Thank you for sharing just your journey, your experience, your lessons that you've learned, your wisdom and insight. You just gave so much information and we are so appreciative of your time. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.